The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
New York State appears to be falling short of its goals for renewably sourced energy. That's the assessment from an audit conducted by the State Comptroller's Office that has identified delays in the process to approve renewable energy projects. The review shows that applications for energy projects are taking up to 3 years to process. The audit of the Office of Renewable Energy Siting found permit applications were often delayed due to insufficient documentation. And it also calls for more transparency in the process. The state's ambitious Climate Act calls for 70% renewable energy by 2030 and a zero-emission electric grid by 2040. A 36-year-old woman from Elma faces several charges connected with a fatal hit-and-run crash. The Erie County Sheriff's Office says it has charged Stephanie Kolatz for leaving the scene of a transit road crash in January. Kolatz was arraigned in Elma Town Court and released on her own cognizance and was charged with a Class D felony leaving the scene of a fatal accident and the misdemeanor offense of aggravated unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle in the second degree. Details are expected today to be shared regarding a renewable housing project in Cheektowaga. The press conference is scheduled for this afternoon at 44 Long Avenue. That'll be attended by Town of Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak, Buffalo Erie Niagara Land Improvement Corporation Director Jocelyn Gordon, and Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars. It's going to be a busy day for the county executive, who will also attend the unveiling of a new Fenian monument overlooking Niagara River. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says she and 29 other senators are supporting a bipartisan anti-Semitism Awareness Act. In a press release, Gillibrand said the bill will help address anti-Semitic sentiment and action on college campuses by clearly defining anti-Semitism when enforcing federal law. Gillibrand said the act would, quote, ensure the Department of Education has the right legal definitions needed to take action against all forms of anti-Semitism on our college campuses. A 49-year-old Buffalo woman will pay fines and agree to other penalties after pleading guilty to leaving the scene of an injury crash on St. Patrick's weekend. According to acting Erie County District Attorney Michael Kane, Maggie Coyle admitted she was driving while intoxicated on Casanova Street on the night of March 16th when her vehicle struck two pedestrians. While she drove away from the scene without reporting the incident, Coyle was located a short time later by Buffalo police. One of the pedestrians was taken to the hospital for treatment of a head injury and released. The other was treated at the scene for minor injuries. Coyle's license has been suspended, and she's been ordered to pay $1,445 in fines and surcharges and will participate in an impaired driver's course. And the 178th commencement ceremony is today for the Jacobs School of Medicine. The ceremony takes place from 3 to 5 and will confer 169 graduates with MD degrees. The Department of Health Commissioner James McDonald will be the featured speaker.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
This is not only Friday, which of course is important in its own right, but it is also Arbor Day. That's right, it's Arbor Day. As a matter of fact, the town of Tonawanda has been named a Tree City USA by the Arbor Day Foundation now for the 27th consecutive year. And so what they're going to do is have a nice little marking of the occasion later this morning over at Kenny Park. They're going to put in three new trees, or at least dedicate three new trees, I should say. The Tree City USA program has four requirements that the town has met: maintaining a tree board or department, having a tree care ordinance, dedicating an annual community forestry budget of at least $2 per capita, and hosting an Arbor Day observance and proclamation. If you're waking up to find out what the Buffalo Bills did in the draft last night, well, they were busy, but they were busy making trades. They traded their first-round slot, the 28th position overall, to the Kansas City Chiefs for picks in the first, third, and sixth rounds. Then they traded the Chiefs pick, 32nd overall, and a sixth-round pick to the Carolina Panthers for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick. So now the Bills have two picks in the second round, one in the third, one in the fourth, four in the fifth, one in the sixth, and one in the seventh. And those 10 total picks, by the way, are the most since Brandon Bean became the team's general manager. Gabe DeMeo, communications director for the International Institute of Buffalo, stopped into the WBFO studios yesterday to discuss their annual competition, Community World Trivia.
And it's basically to find out who is Buffalo's most globally smart.
Wow.
Right? Who knows a little bit about the world around them?
Who's, okay.
You know, and we're looking for teams of six people.
Oh, so it's a team event.
Yeah. So it's not like a bar night where you go and ring a bell or raise your hand and answer questions. It's really one of those things where you have a team. The MC, who happens to be me, will ask questions, and then the groups will answer the multiple choice questions, and we'll have to confer and you know, find a group answer to the question. And then those answers are collected, and then they're tabulated by a panel of three judges.
Community World Trivia takes place Thursday, May 9th from 6 until 9 at Roswell Park's Research Study Center Gaylord Carey Conference Room. The deadline to register is May 2nd. It sounds simple and fun. And while it's open to all, Gabe DeMeo took a moment to prove the questions are accessible to most anyone who has the right spirit.
Because the WBFO audience are filled with lifelong learners,
yes.
People who are interested in the world around them and our community and how we're connected with world events,
right.
And how we connect to them here in Buffalo. But these questions are sort of part and parcel of that. You'll
okay.
understand once you hear the questions.
All right, lay a
they're
couple
both,
of mine, man.
And let me say they're both fun. And education. So,
just what we love to be.
Yeah. So let's start off with one of the questions. 1971 marks the year that Bangladesh became a newly recognized country. From which country did Bangladesh gain independence? Now it's multiple choice.
Okay.
A, the British Empire. B, Germany. C, India. Or D, Pakistan.
I'm old enough to remember this happening, so I'm going to say D, Pakistan.
You are correct, sir.
Yes.
See, so now your team would have gotten a point.
I don't need a team in this case.
So you want to try? Do you want to try another one?
Try another one. Let's see. Yeah.
Okay, let me find one where...
Multiple choice, the gift that made high school graduation possible. As for question two, the answer was not A, hieroglyphics. As for answers on entering your team for Community World Trivia 2024, that can be found at iibuffalo.org. The event serves as a fundraiser for the International Institute's many educational efforts. They often welcome delegations from other countries looking to learn more about local systems and industry, and they've long been a sponsor of Model UN. Of course, the International Institute of Buffalo is one of the key agencies that have helped to make thousands of refugees feel at home in a place that is now benefiting from population growth for the first time in decades.
We also do work with cultural competence and helping people understand that not everybody is the same. You know, when we bring people in from other countries, you know, usually from refugee camps, you know, they're escaping some war or some horrible thing. They go to a refugee camp, and after they're vetted by the State Department, they come to the United States. And while the United States is wonderful, it's very different a lot of the times from where they came.
Right.
So cultural issues and in that interchange between getting services, whether that's working at a business or maybe going for a doctor's appointment or something like that, there is sometimes a cultural disconnect that we either need to educate the patients or our clients. We have people who are coming in from countries where women's health is dealt with very differently.
Right.
So if you come from maybe a country that is more conservative, maybe they're not talking about OBGYN like they do in the United States. Maybe they're not talking about self-examinations for breast cancer and stuff like that.
Gabe DeMeo, thanks for joining us.
Jay, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And what a good week we've had.
A good week, and hopefully a good week just ahead. But it all began with a party.
The Give My Regards to Broadway reunion of the Buffalo-Toronto Public Media Broadway trip. Yes. Marta Hertzbrunner and her husband out in Williamsville hosted all of the people who had gone on the New York trip with Buffalo-Toronto Public Media, the BFO listeners all, and we got together, and she had taken this cookbook that she bought at the Drama Bookstore in New York City that had all these Broadway-themed appetizers, and she must have cooked all week. Just marvelous, and so good to see everybody, and we think we'll do another trip. They're all saying, well, let's all go together to Stratford or the Shaw, and I think we'll do that. Friends for Life. When we do it again, you must come too, Peter.
I absolutely will.
So then we had great theater to see. Up first was The Curious Case of the Watson Intelligence at the Road Less Traveled Theater, which they've been waiting to do since before the pandemic. And worth the wait, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely worth the wait. And I find sometimes these pandemic delayed productions are so good. They've been thinking about it for years, and it all came together. Three actors, each playing at least four different roles, four different Watsons.
Four Watsons, three Elijahs, played by Emily Yancey, who is sublime as the protagonist, a woman who's quickly losing her grip.
But she's a software developer. She's in an abusive relationship, and yet she's in a loving relationship with a computer.
I also like Dave Hayes as, well, it's in the Victorian times that he's the abusive husband. But it, as this is revealed, it just gets more and more absurdly horrifying. And dear Brendan Didio as one of the Watsons, this one, Sherlock Holmes, Elementary, My Dear Watson, is just in shock and horror. Like, what am I hearing here? But we also saw The Price, which is one of those Arthur Miller plays that is less often performed, from 1968, very late in his career, when New York critics kind of looked at him as a relic of a bygone era. The Price is a wonderful play, and it's getting an excellent production at the Irish Classical Theatre Company.
It certainly is, and it is a lesson in acting for anyone who wants to see how it's done, especially that part of acting where it's not your scene. You don't have lines necessarily, but you have to be engaged, and everybody was. You pointed out in your review how wonderful Kate LoConte-Alcaser is. She almost steals the scene with no lines.
I said rather wryly and cryptically in my review, if you want to understand the whole play, follow the dry cleaning. That is The Price. Wonderful Tom Laughlin, Ben Michael Moran, Todd Benson. Yeah. Well, we saw other things. We did see Gutenberg the Musical. It is just a comical caprice. Two men, very talented actors, pitching a Broadway musical about the invention of the printing press. They have no actors. They've got nothing. Very, very silly.
I also loved all the baseball caps that identify on the brim who the character is supposed to be, because the only people on stage are these two guys. Well, they have to play these roles. And at one point, a whole clothesline of baseball caps comes out and does a chorus line routine. And of course, it comes out for the bows at the end.
And just from those descriptions, you will know whether or not you are intended for the audience of Gutenberg the Musical, or if you belong over at The Price or The Curious Case of the Watson Intelligence. There we have that. I also picked up Roosevelt Tidwell playing Satchel Paige over at the Paul Robeson Theater, one of the greatest baseball pitchers who ever lived, perhaps the greatest baseball pitcher who ever lived, spending most of his career in the Negro Leagues before very briefly in the major leagues, but being honored at Cooperstown. And I think that this is the kind of play that could play at Cooperstown or for schools, or even I could imagine it with videography and so on at Shea 710.
But now, everyone, take a breath, because if last week was jam-packed with great theater, this week promises to do it all over again, including for the kids, Go Dog Go. Kindergartners, maybe first graders, but older than that, well, it's for the kids. It's at the Theater of Youth.
And then opening tonight, Merrily We Roll Along, the Sondheim musical someone finally got right. It is currently running on Broadway, but Second Generation Theater is opening their production of Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along.
And about 20 feet down Main Street at the alleyway. It sounds serious, but it's not. It's a goof. It's Death of a Streetcar Named Virginia Woolf.
That does not sound serious to me. So I guess I'm ready.
Well,
and then, well, more serious, a little further down the street at Shays, a weekend of Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice's Jesus Christ Superstar.
And then out at Canterbury Woods, it's First Look Buffalo with local playwright Bella Poynton's The AI at Delphi.
All right. See you in probably all of these places. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.